The most useful dimension of the Enneagram begins when we move beyond the typology and develop an awareness of how we interact with others and carry ourselves in the world. Aphoria wants to invite coaches, therapists, and organizational development practitioners in applying the Enneagram in areas of inclusivity, leadership, and team dynamics. Visit aphoriapartners.com for more information on deepening your knowledge and practice of the Enneagram. That's aphoriapartners.com or click the link in the show notes.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the IEA.
Podcast.
What is this? A podcast. It is a podcast.
Yes.
We're here with our guest, Stephanie Spencer.
Right?
Yes.
Did I say it right? I got okay. Let me try it again.
Okay.
It's a podcast.
For this episode, we have the lovely Stephanie Spencer with us. Welcome, Stephanie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Stephanie, you were, right before we hit the record button, telling us a little bit about your background. Would you mind sharing a little bit of that? How did you come to some of that alongside then the Enneagram came into your world? But tell us just a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I was a pastor and was in a difficult situation vocationally and decided to leave without a next thing, which probably fits being a self-preservation four. And as a part of that soul-searching time, had fallen into the Enneagram through my spiritual director and was like, maybe this could be next thing. So I pursued training first with Jerome Wagner in Chicago and was hooked and started doing coaching at the same time as I also launched a nonprofit, because again, this probably fits my type structure, but why not launch a business and a nonprofit at the same time since both are doomed to fail?
Yeah, those success rates are just massive.
Yeah, so yeah. Just double it. Yeah. And so that was 2016 was really the launch of both. So 40 Orchards is the nonprofit world. I co-lead that with the amazing Lisa Adams. And we do work with a lot of people who've left church for some reason or another and are deconstructing their faith, but still want a place for spiritual conversation, particularly around the Bible. And so we host what we call scripture circles around those. And then Enneagram, my business has sort of ebbed and flowed with that over the years as clients have come my way, as I have learned more through more teachers, and recently wrote a book as a part of that journey.
Tell us about your book.
Yeah, we'd love to hear more about your book. The cover's beautiful. These cards are beautiful. Tell us.
I started getting kind of two things happened simultaneously. One, I felt like as a coach who was trying to help people learn the Enneagram, I was noticing how overwhelming it was for people because there was such a flood of head-centered information to wade through. And I was longing for more heart-centered approaches and wasn't finding that many. So I was kind of how do you learn Enneagram through the heart? And I love metaphor. I have never found a metaphor I couldn't kill. So that was something that I started working with myself, with my clients, as metaphor. And then I read a book called Braiding Sweetgrass one of the best books ever written by Robin Wall Kimmerer. If you've never read it, you should. And she talked about the three sisters, which is an indigenous three plants you plant together and help each other grow. And it got me curious about triads in nature. And so all of that combined to me writing a book that is metaphors of the Enneagram using triads of nature as a space.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Maybe it may be a... Should I say this?
Yes.
When
you question the answer is yes.
Now you must.
Perhaps a contradictory statement, but in the world of poorly designed Enneagram content, yours stands out as not.
Can you tell what type he is?
Yes.
Sorry, we're across the table from each other.
Yes, actually,
aesthetics are also important to me, and I also wanted an aesthetically pleasing approach because there's lots of people where that's important.
Otherwise, it's really distracting.
Yes, and so it's very image heavy as a book. It's half of it is images. And the intent is that provides spaciousness, that provides beauty, it provides a different sort of entry point for people to think about themselves as icebergs and rivers and soil instead of fours and twos and ones.
Why did you go with nature?
Oh, that's a great question. I love nature. I'm headed from here on a camping trip. I'm hiking Half Dome on Monday.
Hey. Oh.
We won the permit lottery. So, yes.
Jeez, that's tough.
A little nervous about that, too.
Yeah.
So I find that nature is really grounding for me. I think that maybe that's part of it combining with the gut center on that, of there's just something about being outside and being in nature that provides a different pathway. So I love it myself. But it also was a way I felt like I could have a robust imagery. So I've seen Enneagram teachers here and there throw out that one type is, you know, like this flower, one type's like that sandwich or whatever it might be. And I really wanted to create something where the metaphors had depth and continuity, and nature felt like a way to do that. So like the head, heart, gut triad, for instance, is represented with air. Air is the head types, water is the heart types, and earth as the gut types. And that runs throughout the entire book, that every image for gut is related to earth, every image for heart is related to water, every image for head is related to air. But then it could stack to the other triads. So one that I like think is fun to talk about is the conflict styles or harmonic groups, whatever you want to call them, of whether you're reactive or positivity or competency in your approach. For those, I have carnivores, herbivores, and omnivores as the triad. But then for the gut types who are of that, it's a land animal. It's birds for head types. So it's combining those two triads together. Nature felt like a unique way to pull things together that way and make cohesive imagery for the types.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, like the imagery is timeless and universal. Like your book has... so much is conveyed through the photography and the images, and it's less tied to behavior or, you know, something more reductive of a person.
Yes. Oh, I appreciate that, because I think, my coffee taste changed. So if someone relates me to a coffee type, that might be true. Yeah. Differently at different times in my life when I really liked a sugary latte and versus when I really like a nice pour over. Hopefully nature lasts a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Yeah. It's a little questionable these days.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Any type of inner work requires a confrontation of versions of ourselves that may be uncomfortable or scary. Sarah Jane Case invites you into a poetic exploration of who you thought you had to be through her new book, The Enneagram Letters. You can find this creative approach to your personal development anywhere you buy books online or using the link in the show notes.
What I appreciated about what you had initially sent me was that you were giving us kind of a more of an experiential take on the types rather than a categorical one. And I knew that that would help. Why I initially wanted to say that this is a great book is because this to me was going to help us experience each other again in a different way rather than box each other into things that, you know, I don't see you anymore. You know? So... yeah, I'm with you in that. I think this is such a beautiful way to describe. Creek just mentioned or reminded me of this quote from Richard Rohr, who says that mystery isn't unknowable; it's infinitely knowable, and that's what each of us are. And I think nature is a really beautiful way to get at that.
I think thanks for your endorsement, Seth.
I think too. One thing that I'm thinking of is if you ever heard somebody who says, and I've been guilty of this too. So I'll use a personal example. You know, sometimes I think, man, I just really have a hard time with sevens. You know, they trigger something in me in a very particular way, and so I kind of develop this bias against. But I think this offers us a way to enjoy one another because who can't find a way to enjoy a river? You know what I mean?
And so I know a few people.
Okay. Maybe they like deserts.
I appreciate that, which is both those things together are part of why the title is...
understands me and what I'm trying to say right now.
So the title is Out of the Box and Into the Wild, because I think part of getting people out of boxes is finding ways to connect with each other, which is another reason I use the triads too, because every type has a triad in common with every other type. And so even the people that drive us crazy, one of those triads is in common. So like twos and sevens have that positivity grouping in common. So you're both herbivores in my book. Right? So there's something that's connective with those folks that we might struggle to feel connected to.
I love it.
Well, What was the type that was the hardest to put a metaphor to?
I think it wasn't about a type as much as it was about the structure that I created around the book. So this is like, this is a little bit about creativity and whether how creativity can be enhanced by limitation, but then sometimes you really hit those limits. So I wanted to run that head, heart, and gut triad throughout, which meant that when we got to plants, I needed to have the type six be an epiphytic plant because it's head, so it has to be air. So all of the head types are epiphytic air, like treetop dwelling plants. But then it also had to be fit the type six, which is pragmatist, which means it had to be a rhizome plant. And so that became like finding an epiphytic rhizome plant all of a sudden was like, how many are there? Is there a plant?
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Wow. And so I would hit stuck points like that, but then that would be what would create a beautiful moment to me where it felt like I was catching something that was like Elizabeth Gilbert talks about creativity being like a force that you catch that's out in the universe. And if you don't catch it, someone else will, which I think is a really lovely light way of thinking about it. And it felt like that because then I ended up landing on this Queen's Tears Bromeliad for a type six that fit both of those things and is also a plant that when it gets knocked off from its tree perch, its roots will shift into being terrestrial roots so that it survives the fall.
Whoa.
Which I'm like, well, that feels like six energy
amazing.
To me. And I wouldn't have stumbled on that without the limitation of the framework. And so that was hard, but the hard turned out to be really beautiful.
I too enjoy a hearty jaunt through the forest and the mountains. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm just kind of over and over hearing is this, how often we separate ourselves from nature and you're inviting us back into it as something we can learn from and interact with, be confronted by, and learn to embrace the discomfort that you have the whole way up the mountain. And then the release of, oh, wow, this is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really great.
Stephanie, was there anything in the process of writing this book that you felt like was healing for you or pivotal or poignant in any way?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks. I think, again, the limitation of the framework meant that I had to, for a type four in that triad, I had to have a carnivorous water creature as a part of my framework, which was a bit of a bummer to me because I have on my arm, I have tattoos of birds. I really wanted to be a bird. And I was like, I can't be a bird if I follow my own framework. So what else is out there? So I had to like push myself to find something else. And I ended up landing on an octopus. Mm. And as I researched octopus, I was like, oh, octopus are sentient. They feel things. They remember pain. There's actually, they've developed relationships with their caretakers. There's all these things about octopus that I didn't know. And then after I finished the book, I watched the movie My Octopus Teacher and just sobbed.
It's so beautiful.
It's such a beautiful movie. And I think there, that combination of those things, to me, was a push for what really makes for a meaningful life. Because octopus doesn't live very long. And somehow that one octopus lived a really meaningful life without making a big significant impact. And that's a real struggle for me as a four. I want to make some sort of significant, unique impact on the world. And I'm like, that octopus did just by being itself.
Yeah.
And just by living a year. And so...
And that documentary, like in some ways, the practice for four is just going back to the same place.
Yes.
The mundane, finding the beauty and the connection there. And then that's when,
Okay. So good. And I think that your book, too, is inviting us into seeing ourselves through a different lens of relationship with ourselves, but also sort of a bigger step into relating with nature in a relationship with it. Itself, right? And thinking of it more personally in that way.
One of the people presenting at the conference is Ben Campbell, and he actually runs a program called Wild Enneagram that's all about actually getting people outside and as the approach to Enneagram. And so I think it's maybe a growing movement of people trying to do that.
Let's heal this thing.
How long did it take you to put this together?
So the way that my brain and heart works is like rumination, and then like all-nighters. So it depends how you count time. I've been thinking about this and mulling on this for probably three, four years. And then actually presented it to an agent 2 years ago and it got rejected. And then I had to go through all of those feelings and thought, well, maybe it's nothing. Maybe that was dumb. And then I ended up presenting it to, I'm part of the Minnesota Enneagram chapter, and I ended up presenting some of the material in a presentation in the fall, and everybody asked where the book was because they wanted to spend more time with it. And I was like, oh, maybe this is something. And so then that was my gas pedal to have it out. So that was just this past fall that I presented it and was like, this should actually be a book. And then I met with Joy Egricks-Reed from Punchline Publishers and decided that was a good route. And then we got our book to print in June.
Okay.
So it's been an intense 6 months of gas pedal after a lot of time thinking.
How do you hope that this, with keeping the theme of this of the conference in mind of Unite and Ignite, how do you feel like this book will contribute to that theme?
The Unite, I hope, really comes through the triads and through people. I think it's an underutilized piece of Enneagram wisdom. There's just not quite as much on all of them together, all four triads together. Dr. David Daniels has a really good article on his website, but it's one of the only ones that's really all four of them talked about. And so I hope that we keep expanding that because I think it's such a uniting force to notice what we have in common and how to talk about that with each other. And then I hope the Ignite piece is just somebody seeing something different about themselves. I was at my party for the book. There was somebody there who was a nine who was like, I like all of the images except the elephant. And was talking to somebody. I was talking to my husband about this, actually. But then she started talking about what she knew about elephants. And by the end of the conversation, she was crying.
Wow.
Because she realized elephants were so meaningful to her. Wow. And so I hope that that happens for people, that there's just something that they couldn't get to in themselves before that they suddenly see and can live into more. Because we're all, we're all flawed and have vices and passions and fixations and all those things, but we also have a lot of beauty. And I hope that people can be ignited by that beauty.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of something also. I have children, and I am always thinking of ways to engage them in conversations about personality without putting the burden of personality on them too young. And I feel like a book like yours would be so great to go through with children, not for the purpose of typing them, but for the purpose of appreciating the beauty of nature and what we can learn from nature, and then having that conversation of what we can learn from each other. You know, so
and there's reflection questions with every page. Every image has three reflection questions with it. So you could use those reflection questions even without type as conversation starters.
I love that.
With people in your life. It's a great idea.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And how can people find you, get the book, all that?
So it's called Out of the Box and Into the Wild, an Enneagram Journey Through the Triads of Nature. Easiest place to get it is Amazon. Even if we want to support our independent bookstores, Amazon's the beast that we just can't get away from. And then people can also find me. My website's just stephaniejspencer.com if they want to know more about me. And on Instagram, I'm Beyond Your Number is my tag on Instagram.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.